It's coming up to 18 minutes after the hour here on Daybreak. A small brown bird has chosen Tumbler Ridge to conquer its own continental divide. For years, scientists have speculated that the eastern and western wrens flock together in the Rockies. The two birds look the same but sing a different tune. Here's the song of the eastern winter wren. And here we have the western winter wren. And after years of searching for their meeting place, UBC professor Darren Irwin found it in the Peace Country. Graduate student David Taves has been following up with that field researcher, and I reached both of them a little earlier in Vancouver. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Darren, why don't we start with you? How did you actually go about trying to find this contact point between the eastern and western wren?
Well, I knew that I had read in the literature that differences were noted between wrens on the far east coast of North America and the far west coast. So then I was interested in trying to look in between to find out, you know, if wrens varied gradually between the west coast and the east coast, or if there was a place where two types could be found together. So I had an idea that might be occurring in northeastern British Columbia, because that's an area where many species of birds sort of differ between interior British Columbia and Alberta. So I went to that area and started sort of looking around there, looking at distribution maps of where wrens had been noted before, and just made a lot of recordings here and there, and eventually located this town of Tumbler Ridge, where the two types of wrens both can be heard right next to each other, pretty much.
How did you find Tumbler Ridge, of all places?
Well, so I had sort of narrowed my search down to northeastern British Columbia because I had been to the Williams Lake area and heard western wrens, and I had been to the Lesser Slave Lake area in Alberta and heard eastern wrens. So I knew the sort of contact area needed to be somewhere between those points. And I then... I actually have to give a lot of credit to this group called the South Peace Bird Atlas Society that had posted on a website a map of where they had found winter wrens in the Peace River area. So that's like Chetwynd, Dawson Creek, and Tumbler Ridge. They hadn't described which type was there, whether it was eastern or western, but they had shown a nice distributional map of where wrens of either type had been found. And there were a lot seen near the town of Tumbler Ridge. So that, after finding their website, I sort of zeroed in on Tumbler Ridge and spent a lot of time hiking around there until, yes, I found both types of wrens in that area.
If you need to look for something, I guess you just Google it these days.
That's right. It's it's amazing the information you can find.
David, I'll bring you into the conversation. You've been doing some field work now that discovery has been made. What have you learned? What have you discovered?
Well, I mean, we sort of knew that the easterns and westerns had very different songs, like Darren was saying, and we know that songs used in mate choice in a lot of species of birds. So we were interested to see if where they came into contact, if there was any intermediates, or if there were any birds that sang both songs, which would tell us that there may be breeding between the types. But what we actually found is that the differences where they occur outside the contact zone were as different where they came into contact. So this told us that they may not be breeding. And so what I did then is I took blood samples that Darren had collected in Tumbler Ridge and sequenced their mitochondrial DNA to see if that was any different than what was outside the contact zone. And what we found is that the differences are as dramatic inside the contact zone where they live in neighboring territories as they do outside the contact zone, and that eastern mitochondrial haplotypes are only found in those birds singing an eastern song. So what that tells us is that there doesn't seem to be much gene flow between the types where they come into contact. So they may, in fact, be reproductively isolated, and that we're actually looking at two species in North America.
Darren, why do you think that might be? I mean, physically, if they look the same, why wouldn't they be interested in breeding with each other?
Well, in birds, the song is a very important mate choice signal. So males, in most species, males sing, and females base a lot of their mating decisions on the type of songs that they're hearing a male sing. So we think that the glaciers separated these two groups during the glaciations about, you know, in the last 2 million years to about 12,000 years ago, separated the wrens into two groups. And then, for whatever reason, their songs became different in those two groups, so that now when they meet, we think that the females don't like the songs of the other males.
Ah, they're just not attracted.
Oh, that's right. That's sort of our working hypothesis. What's going on.
So you guys were the first to do this work, to actually find this point, the first in North America?
More or less. There had been museum workers who had noticed that there are subtle differences between wrens found in Alberta, for instance, and those in British Columbia, but we were the first to actually do song recordings in the field in that region and document the coming together of these two singing types.
Well, I want to thank both of you for sharing some of your research with us this morning. It's very interesting.
Well, thanks very much for your interest.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having us.
Darren Irwin is a professor at UBC, and David Taves is one of his graduate students, and I spoke with both of them a little earlier in Vancouver.